10. Been watching part of Greg Kelly reports this week. He's been doing a series on the Bible under attack on the news, and it's been pretty good. Tonight was about China, so it was really interesting listening to people talk about the Bible and Christian persecution in China. Of course, when we, you know, stuff like that, they're showing pictures of people going to church, and you know, they're all the state-sponsored churches, which they're okay with, you know. You've got to be registered. They got to know what you're saying, what you're doing, all that kind of thing. And so, you know, we know a lot of the folks that we know, that's not who we're talking about. But it's it is clear all the way across. And one of the is an economist, but he's an author, and he's a gentleman that watches China a lot. He talked about, you know, the Uyghurs and the different camps that have been. That are there where the folks are entrained, the Uyghur Muslims, and it's talking about persecution in general, but talking about crematories just set up next to those places. And it just we have no idea. And to have, you know, because he'll ask these church leaders. He had a pastor who's was one of President Trump's religious advisors. I didn't recognize him. That's the first time I'd listened to him. What can we do? You know, what can we do to help these people? And he said, you've got to talk about it. You know, he said, we talk about it every church, every place, and, you know, get the Olympics, you know, get it out of there. All these people, it kills me, people that fight for, you know. If I'm going to go in on something, I'm going to go all in for all the right reasons. If you're going to talk about social justice and all these things, and you're wearing these tennis shoes that are $300, that were built on this guy's blood, sweat, and tears, and you won't say spit about how those people get treated. And you won't talk about slavery and reparations. You can't tune those people out fast enough. It's incredible. And so I want to keep that in the forefront anyhow, and pray for those folks. And got good reports back from some of our folks in that area. And doing well, and they're praying for some new outreach in some place. So we'll talk more about that when we're not being on. But praise the Lord for that. So we're in Hebrews chapter number 9 tonight, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your grace to us. We do pray that you would bless our meeting tonight. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. We do pray for China, Father, for the folks there, for the souls. And Lord, we do pray for the leaders. Lord, we know that they think totally different than we think about things, about people. And Father, life is not valued like people of the book value life like you do. Father, we wouldn't if it wasn't for you. Father, you show us the way. We ask that you would help them tonight. Lord, we do pray that you would bless those that are working towards seeing people freed, Father, spiritually. And whether they ever see it in their economy, Lord, will it's a different story. But we just pray that you bless your word as it goes out. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It was interesting listening to the pastor. He told Greg, he said, where the church gets persecuted, it just goes like this. And he says, it's no different there. It's just going out. And he was really impressed by that. I don't know. I've never heard Greg Kelly's testimony. I'd like to hear it. He's former military, and he just listening to him. He's like when somebody I don't know. You ever see somebody when they know a little bit about something, but they get around somebody that knows a lot about something? How they're quiet and they listen, and you can just kind of tell by the man. That's how he acts around people like that, the spiritual people. So I just wonder how much he knows, how much he doesn't know, but. He had another a pastor on Monday night, a black brother. Man, he was fun to listen to. I just enjoyed it. And he was sharing the Bible with them, and he was talking about how the Bible's seldom read. He said it's in most houses. He said our series is Bible Under Attack. But he's like, but let's be real. Most people have a Bible. He said not that we can't get it. He says and we don't read it. He said. Faith cometh by hearing, Greg. And I loved it, man. I just loved it. It's so true. It's so true. People are like, they're faithless. They're wordless, right? Christless in application, right? I mean, there's just, they're not thinking about, well, the Lord, he's not struggling with this, so I shouldn't be, and should be thinking about him. So it's been a blessing. Hebrews chapter number 9, we're going to be down in verse number 23, and we're going to be, actually, we finished in 24. I'm going to read 23, 24, and then we're going to finish down through 28, and we'll jump into 10 tonight. We were talking about a better sacrifice last week in the second covenant, the covenant that's in Christ's blood. We've talked about the differences in the priests, the differences in the sacrifice, why we don't have those sacrifices anymore when Jesus came. And it's going to just be very plain tonight in the verses we see. Verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And we had talked about Christ ascending to the Father to give that sacrifice, to pay the sacrifice with his blood. For Christ has not entered into holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And he prays for us. You can see that in John chapter number 17. And he makes intercession for us. Very important word in Christianity is that word intercession. So, hey, what do you do as a Christian? You intercede. What's that? I mean, that is a bulk of what we do. But when we talk about peacemaking and interceding, like, what do I do as a Christian? I don't go out and do something. Intercede. it'll take up a ton of time, right? And you're trying to help people. You know the way. You've seen the way. You've met the Father. You know the Son. You have the Spirit inside. You're trying to help people to see that. You're interceding. They can't see it, so you got to pray for them. And God wanted to wipe the people of Israel off the map, and Moses probably would have. And Moses said, what's everybody going to think about you? You spent all this love getting them out of Egypt, and now you want to do this? What's everybody going to say? And so Moses, very humble in that, and he was interceding. So 24, the Bible says he's in God's presence and he prays for us. It's where he's at right now. 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often. That's why we don't have communion in church every week. That's why we don't picture it that way. He wasn't offered often. We can't offer him often. That it goes against God. It goes against his pattern. It goes against his plan. It's not his picture. We do not want to even begin to entertain the idea that Jesus is dead on a cross right now. Not even entertain that idea. He reigns. He's on the throne. Yo, man, I just can't imagine thinking of him that way all the time. 25 says, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. Okay? I was talking about other people. It was a blood sacrifice for the sins of others. Remember, he had to give an offering for himself and then for the people, but he had to do that often, but not Christ when Christ gave himself. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. See, if that was the pattern, because the Bible says he was slain before the foundation of the world, if he'd have to give himself often, he would have to follow this same Old Testament pattern. The Bible says here, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, and I have this underlined, in the end of the world. Okay? You say the end of the world, you can get most people to, you know, snap their head around or, you know, say the end of the world. Or the preacher man said it's the end of the world. Well, this was back in his day. It said the end of the world, right? God's timing is different than our timing. But the Bible talks about it. It's talking about it back in Paul's day, in these last days. Okay, well, how long do the last days last? You know, and if you're telling yourself they're not so bad, it's crazy in my puny little life how much is gone. I just can't imagine, like, my kids, you know, they're just, if the Lord tarries, you know, 20 years from now, to see how nuts stuff is. But their version of it, you know, you'll talk about some of the things that you say, well, it used to be this way, like, wow, we never saw that. I know. You think of like the little guys, you know, like that one back there, and Sam, and those guys, like, all they know is, COVID and masks, and I think that's a part of life. Like, no, that's not, you guys had a rough start. That's not how it normally is. Not saying we wouldn't want to muzzle a few people over time, but no, not all the time. Not all the time, for sure. But it says, but now, once, in the end of the world. So in Jesus' day, it was the last times. It's the last times now. That's why this message of being ready, be ready for the Lord is so important. One of the commentators the other day talked about the rapture, and it was just good to hear about it. But he talked about the church being getting out and doing and making sure we're standing up for what's right. We're continuing with the truth. Some people, I mean, they think, just because people are spouting lies and they're yelling them real loud, that we got to change what we're doing. Well, we don't have to change what we're doing. Keep doing what we're doing. We can't back off that. And like, oh. Oh, I don't want to. No, you have to keep saying the truth. Because one thing for sure, they're going to change and get onto another horse here after a while. And it's going to be just as wrong as the one they're on. But we have to be truthful because God's working in the heart. And they'll have nothing to come back to if we come off the truth. If we go this way nuts or something, they'll have no truth to come back to. So we have to stick with it. And we've talked about that. We've got to continue with love. We can't return evil for evil and hate them, even though they do things that drive us absolutely crazy in the flesh, and you just want to beat your head against the wall. But it is what it is. The Bible says in verse 26, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Put it away. He took care of it. Took care of business. Did it himself. 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die. Wants to die. Now, Jesus didn't have to die to begin with, but he did to pay for our sin debt. But because of that same sin debt, we are appointed unto men once to die. And so we talk about that, death being an appointment. It's one we don't know about. I mean, it's you just don't know, and you don't live in fear of that, or at least I would encourage you not to, because of knowing where Christ is and knowing about where you will go. Very interesting. I heard another gentleman, he's a doctor, a Christian doctor, speak this week. And he talked about, one of those experiences of dying and, having, I don't know. There's enough people, you hear people say things, and this is just another one you added on. And I was telling somebody, I said, you can't, well, what do you do? I said, you don't base anything on your relationship with the Lord on experience, but God does have experiences. And God does. I've heard it from a lot of people. Out-of-body stuff, working on a somebody being on an operation table and being like above themselves looking down onto the thing and just weird, or being in a place that's bright and seeing streets of gold and seeing family men and seeing, like, how do you explain that? I don't know. But I do know this. I'm going to trust this without seeing that. And if I get to see that before I go there, then great. But if not, no worries. I'm still trusting this. I just think the golden streets, right? Well, that Book of Mormon was read with the golden glasses, right? I mean, there's so many copycat stuff. There was an angel that showed a man. There's angels that came and talked to men in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't ever want to be, this is something. No, it's not. This is the devil dressed up, and he's looking, making something look good because he's trying to deceive. I remember Pastor Paisley going to the courthouse. He had to go to the courthouse for something, and there's a guy on the steps claiming to be Christ, and he wanted to sit there and debate with him. He says, Brother Keith, he said, I should have just asked him to show me the scars in your hands. That would save me a lot of time. He was trying to tell him he was crazy and all these things. And but we've got to go back to the truth. Show me the nail prints. Pull your shoes off and show, But anyhow, the Bible says in verse 27, appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So I've used this verse and so on to help people that they don't think, especially when you're young, you think, man, I'm not going to, all my life's ahead of me. I'll say, we just don't know. We don't know. I'm just blown away. I mean, I have a book. What is the name of it here? It is an Alaskan book, but I don't know. It's not A Million Ways to Die. Not up here, but it could be titled that. I mean, it's compromised. Anyhow, all kinds of stories. Guys getting stuck out in the mud flats, duck hunting, falling out of airplanes, bears, moose. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. You and I, we don't know. They all live in a safer place. You still don't know, right? You know, one of these UFOs everybody's talking about, they could fall out of. There's like this big UFO report coming out in June. Anyways, they're talking about that the other day. They're declassifying stuff, but you never know what's going to happen to you. I'm going to live in a boat. No, you're not. I said, you have no idea. Could be perfectly healthy and have something go wrong. You don't know. It's appointed unto men. It's a promise. Don't fear that. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. Every fall during 2-a-days, we'd have to pass a 300-yard sprint test. And it would be broke up. It'd be like 50-yard runs just there and back. All for time. All for time. And you could tell who was working and who didn't work. And the guys that... The blessing was, it's like, okay, when you came in and you tested, you got to do it the first day. You got to do it before practice the first time. But if you didn't pass, you had to run it after practice until you passed it. And so I always felt bad for those guys. I said, you're already tired, and then you're going to have to try to run and make this time. That's a pretty tough time. But you knew it was coming. Prepare for it. Oh, I'll get ready for it. No, you don't know. Get ready now. Get ready now. It's an appointment. So important. When people are scared to death of death, don't be. Don't be. We're born, we die. It's a pattern that everything on this earth is going to follow, whether it's an animal or a tree or anything. It's going to live and it's going to die. The Bible says in verse number 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And we don't have time to go in and talk about the Lord's second coming or the rapture tonight, but we're going to jump right into chapter number 10. The Bible says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. When we talk about pictures and types in the Old Testament, this is exactly what it's speaking of. If you see a shadow, there has to be something between that shadow and the sun that's causing that cast for you to see. And in the Old Testament, that's what we got. We got a shadow. You can read it. You can see it. I mentioned Sunday. Didn't mean it in any kind of other way other than I said if Abel would have survived his brother's beating, he probably would have forgiven his brother. Why? Because he was a type of the Lord Jesus. Never did anything wrong. And paid for it. Never did anything wrong. Joseph was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgave his brothers. Got put in a pit. Did he do anything wrong? Didn't do anything wrong. Did nothing wrong. But he fulfilled that picture. And he had all these people that were fulfilling pictures. What do you think Jesus talked to the men on the road to Emmaus about? What do you think he talked to them about? He talked to them about these very things. He's like, here I was, and he'd tell them the story. And, you know, the walk wasn't that long, but by the time they were done, you know, they all got their, you know, quarter credit for their institute time. But man alive, I just can't imagine. The Bible said he talked about all of it to them. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 10, the image, it says, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Right? Why wouldn't they? If they'd have been perfect, if they'd have been the last atonement, then they'd have said, this is it. This is the last one. We're done. No. Because it was never Christ, so they had to continue giving those. That's why that question mark's there in 2. Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. Right? But they did. Because this is a sacrifice. Not perfect. Even though it's a picture, you say, you know, this is where sometimes you struggle and say, well, God set up an imperfect sin. No, it was the picture. Christ's only going to die one time. Just one time. Verse 3, in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Because you could just go get one, right? You don't need God. You can just go get one. There's people sacrificing animals now. There's people sacrificing people now. It's going on under the sky somewhere on this planet. Crazy stuff. I mean, it's happening. I heard a thing in the it was last week talking about part of the education in California schools. They're going to start praying in schools again, but they're going to pray to Aztec gods that were sacrificed to human sacrifices to, because they want to be. I said, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, well, let's recall that while we're recalling the governor. put that on there as an amendment to the recall. Help us. What a mess. What a mess. Somebody smart. Somebody really smart. Amen. 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Thou hast had no pleasure. Many times in the types, if people broke types in the Old Testament, God was not happy. He wasn't happy with Moses. He didn't kill Moses. He wasn't like Uzzah, and he just killed him on the spot. But he just said, you're not going to get to go in the promised land. When Saul didn't do what he was supposed to do, he said, that's it. You're done. When they did things they weren't supposed to do, he's looking for obedience. He's looking for people to love him, not just to go through these sacrifices. Then said I, verse 7, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Psalm 40 is where this verse is taken from. It says, I delight to do thy will, comma, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. David talks like a New Testament Christian. That's the thing that's special about David, that we see his singing. God put a song in his heart. It is so much like the New Testament experience where God's walking with you, you're communing with him, you're talking with him. It's not just, oh, let's go to the temple. We got to make our trip. We got to go pay. Oh, I don't want to go to the temple again. What are you complaining for? We only go once a year. Oh, I don't want to go to the temple. I mean, that was their church fight, you know, not every Sunday. On the Sunday mornings, you know, get them up and let's go do our thing. God wants our hearts, people. He wants our hearts. He isn't just saying, well, I brought you a sacrifice. Aren't you happy? He's like, I want you. I want you. And David said, I delight to do thy will. And it's fun to see people once they get turned over to that and their heart gets changed to that and they let God decide and God choose. And that's a great, great blessing. Verse number 8, we've just got a few more tonight. We'll finish. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not. Okay, going back and talking about verse 5, that's above it there. It says, not neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. And speaking of the covenant in his blood, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. The Bible says here, once for all. Once for all. I absolutely can't stand the cutting up of our society, the way it's being cut up, and you're being labeled by first the color of your skin, well, first what you feel you are, either at birth or at the moment, you know, because it's the same. Your skin color, you're a preacher, we're terrorists. Did you know that? We're white males in America. Brother Jesse, you too, we're on the list. And I feel good today, Brother Harvey, but I just thought, you know, there's women out there somewhere that I thought, whoa! I can't imagine being these people. I can't imagine. I absolutely can't imagine. I was listening to a gentleman last night He's a man from overseas, and he knows how to pronounce all the names in Arabic. And you know, this guy in Colorado wasn't a white man, as everybody said he was. And some people are saying, oh, we assumed he was because he was taken alive. How unbelievably arrogant and just... They don't care. But listen, that group isn't going to win people to the Lord. That group isn't going to show love and bring people together. They use the words, but they don't practice them. A little girl's drowning, trying to swim across the river to get into America, and the vice president's laughing, saying, I'm not going there today. I mean, that's pretty terrible. Well, I don't know if the president's playing a joke on her, but he stuck her in charge of that thing today. So that's her mess to figure out now. So Lord willing, I know Jim Jordan, those guys are all going down there. A bunch of them went down there this week and saw it and are just appalled. I mean, people are giving the description. There's a guy snuck in. James O'Keefe is a part of Project Veritas, and he just won a court decision against New York Times, did a defamation against them. So all they're doing is going through and calling out people for reporting things wrong about the elections. All they're doing, that's all they were doing. New York Times tried to defame them, took them to court, and won. Took a while, but won. That doesn't happen very often. But anyways, he went down there this last week and take pictures because they won't let the press in. It's insane. Won't let the press in. Hitler wouldn't let the press in. Wouldn't let anybody see anything. What's going on? Nothing to see here. They look like baked potatoes, people. It's terrible. I just thought, they're in the space blankets, you know, and they're on the farm. It's like, oh, my soul. It's so terrible. And then think about this, okay? Oh, we're going to put them all in hotels for $86 million. Teenagers. You ever done a youth activity with teenagers? I'm just thinking practically in my mind, right? I mean, I'd load them up in a van and we'd go play ball. And Jerry Griffin, God bless you if you're listening, but man, we were at Sierra Trading Post in Boise. And I said, man, we got time to kill. We got our game. We got this going on. It's me and whatever, 14 high school boys. And we're playing ball games. We're going from Boise, and then we got to go to Twin Falls. And we're in the Sierra Trading Post. It's like Bass Pro's little brother, Cabela's little brother, whatever. Anyway, sleeping bags and fishing and stuff like that. I mean, no joke. It's like just the goobers, man. It's like sword fighting with $100 fly rods or $200. I'm like, stop, put stuff down. And I turn around and I see this kid pick up somebody that's important now. He wasn't thinking then. Crawls in the sleeping bag display, right? You know, you hang the sleeping bags on things. He gets in the sleeping bag to scare his buddies that are coming. Well, he scares his buddy, and his buddy picks him up, and he's like 100 and whatever pounds, tears this whole display off the wall. They're sleeping. Have you ever taken teenagers anywhere? Oh, we're going to put them in a hotel. What's going to be left of the hotel? It's going to be $300 a night just for whatever the night, and then we're going to buy a new hotel. I'm just thinking to myself, it's just not a good plan. It's not a good plan. That's not a good plan. Put up the gates. They got it all done, but the gates. Put the gates on it and make them come through like they're supposed to. It's insane. There's towns doubling in size every 3 days, and the guys are just like, what do you do? What do you do? It's just craziness. Help us. But all people, right? They need to hear the gospel too. There's a reason why they want to come. It is an awesome country we live in. I just, if you'd be on the left, you're supposed to hate America. We hate this country. Oh, but come here. This place is so great. How are they not all bipolar, budget? I don't get it. They all got to be struggling. Mercy. So that's what I said. You got to stay. You can't stare at it too long. You hurt yourself and get a headache. But mercy's sakes, the truth. Keep the truth. Verse 10 is where we finish tonight. An offering of his body, of Christ's body. And the Bible says once for all, once for everybody. You ever get somebody that's saying, oh, he couldn't have died for me. You just take him here and say, once for everybody. That includes you. It's your choice. It's your choice to reject Christ. It's your choice to receive the Lord and to follow Christ. And I just praise God. It takes times like these to get some people to wake up. And we got to be willing just to be used of the Lord, to go through this junk, to just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming back, because some people are going to finally turn and turn to the Lord. And we've got to be here to help them with that, to help them answer questions or just be a friend to them. Father, we do thank you for your grace. Lord, we love our country and we love the gospel you've given us, the post you've given us, the job you've given us to do. And Father, you put so many people on this earth to hear your word. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us, as we talked about tonight, Lord, intercession, praying for these, Father, that are in need. And we ask that you would help us to be a blessing, help us to be instant, constant, and Father, to always love, to fight back the hate with love, Lord. And Lord, we surely thank you and praise you for that. We ask that you bless our prayer time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.